Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Anyway. Feliz Navidad. Los Reyes Magos. Ya está. Merry Christmas to you all. The wise men are on the way. Trinkets and tinsel, parties and plate passing. Christmas Eve is basically here. So are we ready for the marathon of preparation to finally be over? So we can maybe breathe a little bit? And maybe enjoy a bit of some eggnog, spiked with some good spirits. Christmas is coming. Can you imagine it? There is Mary and Joseph, they're on their burrito sabanero, and they're almost near Bethlehem. And we're there with them, through faith. We have spent almost 4 weeks of Advent preparing for the mystery and the magic of Christmas Eve, when the Savior of the nations is to be born. Born in a lowly, humble place, and, as some theologians have said, born to die on the cross. So how do we prepare for Jesus to come among us again? Every year we ponder this question anew. And I think we do so for several reasons. One, the commercialized everything that is the season of Christmas, which apparently has now begun back in September, seems to take away our attention from the birth of Jesus Christ. There's this bumper sticker that we kind of all know that vents my sense of frustration in all of this. Keep Christ in Christmas. Basically, keep your eyes on the prize. Second, some of us have experienced personal loss. And so the typical trappings of holiday cheer are burdensome and unwanted. And of course, there is the pageantry of it all, nutcracker dreams and fashion fits. And trust me, I know pageantry. Ask Pastor Jennifer about how much I love my copes, nice and flowy, nice and gold. That's outfits, if you don't know what that means, fit. No, I think there's something deeper and more enduring behind this question. And I think it sounds a bit like this. What do we need from God? What does my soul need so that I can experience this truth that all that I am in this world is standing upon the ground of God's peace and kingdom? For Mary and Elizabeth, they needed to know from God that the children in their wombs, in fact, were the fulfillment of Israel's hopes. Hopes that the Messiah is coming into the world in order to transform it. Make the whole world a sacred place where wars would cease and the land would be restored to the people. And while we, talk much about Mother Mary, seldom do we really think about Elizabeth and her journey, and how she gave birth to John the Baptist, the forerunner to our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you know your Bible stories well enough, you can see that good old Lizzie's story is basically Sarah's story. And how many of us remember Sarah? Sarah is Abraham's wife, who gave birth to Isaac after decades of being barren. So now here's a pop quiz. How old was Sarah when she conceived Isaac? 100? What do I have? Very old? Old? I have 100 and very, very old. 80? 90. Close. Very close, everybody. What about Elizabeth? How old was she? I actually like that. It's very tricky. It doesn't say, but it does say she was very old. See, when Elizabeth was married to Zechariah, they sadly had no children, and both of them were quite old in age. When one day Zechariah hit the Mega Millions, he was chosen by lot to offer incense before God inside the temple. That must have been quite an honor. Usually the high priest was kind of the only one to just walk inside and do the usual expiation of sins in the holy temple. So when Zechariah is in the temple and he's lighting up his incense, the angel Gabriel appears before him. The angel announces that Elizabeth, your wife, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. Not only was God going to fulfill their deepest desire to have a child, but also that they were going to experience the beginning of something new for the whole world. Their son would prepare the way. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm typically a skeptical person. And wouldn't you guess it, so was Zechariah. Here's how he put it. How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years. He has a healthy amount of doubt as any one of us would have if we were suddenly told that an octogenarian is going to conceive a child. Now, I found out by one of our attorneys here, and this is not legal advice, that there's this thing called the fertile octogenarian rule in wills. Someone laughs because they know it's coming. So when you're writing a will, right, the stipulation is you can bequeath things to your children, to your, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, your next of kin. Now, this rule says you got to wait, because you don't know if perhaps an octogenarian is going to give birth and the stipulation of the will is going to change. Now, I said my grandfather knew that quite well. What, I think we do a disservice to ourselves if during this season we don't pepper our trust in God with just a little bit of uncertainty. What else do you think would be on Elizabeth's mind during those 5 months when she was secluded after conceiving John? She heard great things being foretold about her son, but what did it all mean? And what does all of this mean for us, 2,000 years separated from that event? Personally, I don't think we're going to find an answer to this by simply meditating on this question. When Gabriel announced to Mary a similar kind of prophecy that she would conceive a son and she would call him Jesus and Jesus would be the savior of the world, she didn't just simply ponder the meaning of what Gabriel said. She set out with haste to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And perhaps she ran to her cousin Elizabeth fearing what her husband and maybe what the wider city would say about her conceiving a child out of wedlock. Or perhaps in that moment, she wanted to be close to someone who knew exactly what she was going through, to share with her everything that it meant to conceive a child outside of the norms of society. What she needed from God was to be right there with her cousin. Both of them carried within their bodies both the hopes of the ages and the potential shame of the people. And it's not as if this has changed over the millennia that we've been here. Our perception of what other people should be doing with their lives or their bodies impacts what we deem to be holy or godly. And what the story of the visitation of Mary and Elizabeth tells us is that God makes God's self known apart from what we or wherever we deem God to be. What we need from God may be closer to us than whatever we could imagine. Perhaps we need to hear the voice of friends or loved ones we haven't seen in a while. Spending time to linger on the memories of those who have died this year and remember how their touch made you feel so close to heaven. Maybe you need tears to run down your cheek and allow for sorrow to be your companion whenever these seasons' movements feel overwhelming. Maybe you just need to laugh at jokes old and new, experiencing within your bodies the joy that Elizabeth felt. God could have simply materialized in front of Mary and Joseph, sinews and everything, something out of a Watchmen comic. Yet God chose to take the more scenic route, the more human way of doing things, like spending 9 months in a womb. God wants to know us deeply and live within each of us in a new and different way. God became human in Jesus Christ so that even this idea of the kingdom of God can be felt right here, in our hearts, in our bodies, through our tears and our laughter, and in every manner of womb in the world. So what do you need from God as you prepare for the marathon that is to come? Here's maybe a suggestion. Take a moment, could be a minute or two or more, in the middle of this busy time, and talk to God. Ask God to illuminate you so that maybe you can pry deeper as to what you really are hungering from God today. Ya viene la Navidad. Christmas is here. The shepherds are moving into position. The wise men are putting the directions in the GPS to make sure that they're going to the right location. Mary and Joseph, they're calling for us. Christ is near. Amen.